kids that are in the back. And Lord, I thank you for your teaching in the Sunday school hour. And Father, we sing these songs about your son Jesus, Lord, and we celebrate who he is. We celebrate the fact that so many years ago he came to this earth in the flesh, born as an infant, just like anybody else, born of a woman. But Lord, the difference is that he was your child, not conceived of a man, not conceived in a natural way, but conceived supernaturally through your Holy Spirit. And we know, Holy Spirit, you had a divine role in the birth of the Son of God, and we know that you have a divine role in our life. So we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you'll have your way this morning. Again, we appreciate your ministry. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we appreciate your going to the cross for our salvation, and we might have forgiveness of sins. Bless those who are hurting, Lord. We mentioned families already that are going through it this morning. We think of the Doolin family, Lord. Encourage Jim and his family. God, we think of the Boyd family, the cancer that Blake has, Lord, that you would just be merciful. And God, time won't allow, but there's so many things we could pray about. We thank you for the privilege. We ask your blessings now on our services. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, let me encourage you to join us tonight for our Christmas party. Our annual Christmas party is going to be, instead of, in lieu of evening services, we'll have that party back in Summer Hall. It's a potluck meal. Bring your favorite foods. Come be a part of that with us. We'll enjoy the evening together. Also, as you're turning to John chapter 14, I want to congratulate one of our students. Ty Kinch was student of the month at Slayton High School, and so we congratulate him. He's up there representing, and these kids do a great job of representing us at our school, and we appreciate Ty. And we want you to be in John chapter 14. I want to talk to you this morning about one of the most overlooked gifts that we as Christians have, something that every person that is born again possesses, but many of us rarely give him the credit and the consideration that he deserves, and I'm referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So we also, you know, you have to admit, when we talk about the Lord, we talk about the Father, we talk about Jesus, but we talk about the Word of God, but we talk very little about the Holy Spirit. And generally, what is least talked about is least considered. And the Holy Spirit of God has such a vital role in our lives. He is so intimately involved in the everyday workings of our lives. And so to not understand Him is to overlook something that's very important. To not understand His purpose and His abilities is to miss out. And not to mention to dishonor him. You think about it for a moment. If you involved yourself in somebody's life, you were so dedicated to them from day to day, you just poured yourself into that person. But that person never gave you consideration. That person never said thank you. That person never acknowledged your presence. Well, that would kind of be smart, wouldn't it? You'd be like, I wish you'd recognize that I'm here. I wish you would acknowledge me. And so I'm here to tell you that we oftentimes do that to the Holy Spirit. And He is very much involved, and He's always present, and He has a vital role in our life. And the sooner we get a hold of that, the sooner we give Him the attention that He deserves and appreciate Him, the better our lives will be. Now, let me just begin by focusing on a couple of simple facts. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what we call or refer to as the Trinity. It's very difficult to reconcile in our mind, but it doesn't matter. There's a lot of heavenly things that are hard to reconcile in our mind because we're limited in our thinking. But the truth is, it's a three-in-one God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other. They are all on equal ground. One is just as important as the other. The three have the same nature. The Holy Spirit is just as loving, just as merciful, just as holy as God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is the part of the Trinity that indwells us. It's the part of God that moves in spirit form and takes up residence in our life once we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. In fact, the moment we're born again, the Spirit of God takes up and indwells, as the Scripture says, and He is the one that really gives us spiritual life. And we need to understand that. So with those facts understood, I want to ask you a question. If you lived with someone day in and day out, if you were never without them, you were always present with them, wouldn't you kind of want to know and understand them more? Wouldn't you want to know as much about this person that is with you all the time as you possibly can? Of course you would, and so would I. So with that, we're going to read in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. And it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. These words are in red. We know they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, yea, ye also shall live. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Now that's a mouthful, but what we see there, again, we see the Trinity, we see all three persons there, we see Jesus is talking, he's promising that the Holy Spirit's going to come, and then he tells about the unity of the two of them with the Father. So we see that Trinity there. And then he gives us a promise. Verse 16 again. He says, I will pray to the Father and he shall give you a comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. Now let me ask you this. Would the Lord lie? Of course not. He would not lie. He cannot lie. And so he guarantees you and I as Christians that we're going to have his presence forever. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he moves in and he's present. The Bible says there in verse 16 that he will abide with us. That word abide simply means that he will dwell. He will be with us. He will abide. He will dwell not just with us, but in us. The last part of verse 17 says, and he shall be in you. So if you're never without God's presence in your life, he's always there in the form of the Holy Spirit. If you're saved this morning, you can know that the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and God in spirit form is present in your life. So now's the question, what is he doing there? What is the Holy Spirit's job in our life? And I'll tell you, if this lesson might be one of the most informative, not because I prepared it, because God's word teaches it, but one of the most informative, and hear me out, might be one of the most helpful, practical lessons that I've brought in probably ever. I'm telling you, when we begin to grasp and understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, it'll change things, okay? So what is he doing there? Here's just a few things that we need to know and understand about the role of the Holy Spirit in our everyday life. First of all, he convicts us of sin. Notice verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you and I love the Lord, we should want to do right. We should want to carry out his wishes. We should want to obey the commands he gives us in his word. And without question, we know that that's what God wants us to be doing. That's what he wants for us. But sadly, oftentimes believers can, especially in today's world, just easy believism, we'll just get the idea that, hey, we're saved by grace, I've got permission to do what I want. I can do this, I can do that, I'm saved by grace, it's no consequence. Well, yes it is, because it tells a horrible message to God when you and I disobey. Verse 15 again, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we're disobedient, especially blatantly, disobedient to God's word, it's telling God, hey, I don't really love you. So is there something wrong with that? Absolutely, there's something wrong with that. You wouldn't want somebody that was so dear to you turning around to you and saying, hey, I don't love you. Well, that's what we're doing when we disobey God and fail to follow his commandments. We're saying, I don't really love you, Father. Now, we should want to express our love to the Father by being obedient, following the Word of God. Never going to be done flawlessly, never going to be done perfectly because we are sinners, but we could do the best of our ability, and the Holy Spirit will help us with that. He is in the business of showing us our sins. I want you to turn to the right, just probably one or two pages there, to John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. Notice verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter," there again, the Holy Spirit, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now watch this, verse 8. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin." What's that telling us? The word reprove means convict or expose. The Holy Spirit, one of his vital roles is to reveal to you and I our sins, to show us when we've done wrong, to make us aware that we're in violation of God's righteousness. He convicts us, and conviction is more than just recognizing right for wrong, but when the Holy Spirit convicts us, it makes us have a deep burden over what we've done. It makes us have a desire to get it right. Not just, hey, well, I see that's wrong, but actually, I see it's wrong and I want to fix it. You see, conviction, a burden in our heart, wanting to make things right, wanting to make corrections, and to confess those things, to forsake those things, to repent of those things. It makes us want, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts us, it makes us want to say, "Father, I see what's going on here. I see what I've done. And I'm very sorry about that. And God, I'm on it. I'm gonna correct this," okay? That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And isn't that a tremendous benefit? To have something that lives within us, the Spirit of God, that will tap us on the shoulder and say, "Hey, that's wrong. That's wrong." It's much like, and not a perfect analogy, but when we've got little kids, we're going along, and as they go, we teach them what's right and what's wrong, and we teach them why it's right and why it's wrong, and the Holy Spirit wants to do those things in our life and say, "Hey, that's wrong. You're on the wrong course here. You're doing the wrong things." And if we will let Him, He will keep us in line and keep us out of trouble. But here's the deal. He will convict us, but if we don't respond to that conviction, if we don't respond appropriately to the Holy Spirit's reproving us, if we refuse to listen to Him, then the Bible tells us it grieves Him. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." To grieve means to offend. If you and I were to read the verses prior to that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, prior, before and after, it would talk about all kinds of sins. It lists several sins, not the least of which was unhealthy speech. So let's use that as an example. If you and I as children of God just have loose lips, we just say what we want, we gossip, we slander, we criticize, we use profanity, we use angry words, grumbling, complaining, just corrupt communication, the Bible calls it. If that's what we do, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And he has to listen to all that because He lives within us. And that grieves the Holy Spirit, and He'll show us, "Hey, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't talk that way." And if we refuse to listen to Him and we refuse to obey that conviction that comes into our heart, if we don't respond, then we continue to grieve to the point that the Bible tells us then we quench the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, "Quench not the Holy Spirit." Now, what does that mean? Well, we've grieved Him, we've offended Him, you see, and He's tried to tell us, He's tried to get us in line, we haven't listened, and so it goes to the point of quenching, and when you quench something, it just simply means to extinguish something, suppress it, or stifle it. What does that mean? When we quench the Holy Spirit, He's just not able to work in our lives the way He wants to. That's what it amounts to. We're stifling, we're suppressing Him, his work, His desire to keep us on the right track. We're just really wasting the benefit of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. He doesn't go anywhere. He's never going to leave us. He's just not able to work with us. He's not able to accomplish in our life what He wants to accomplish. And He can't keep us out of trouble because we're grieved Him. And then we've grieved Him so much till He's finally quenched. That's got to be a horrible slap in the face to God. When He gives us His presence and we just won't listen. And so that's one of His roles, is convicting us of sin. Here's another role that the Holy Spirit, number two, that the Holy Spirit does in our life that is of great benefit to us. And that is He teaches us. We're already in John 16. I want you to notice verse 13. Jesus says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. And He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that He speaketh, and He will show you things to come." What's He talking about? He's saying the Holy Spirit is going to come, and He's going to be a teacher in your life. Turn back to chapter 14 again, and look at verse 26. He says there, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit," or Holy Ghost, "whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." When Jesus was here on earth, folks, He was continually teaching, right? One lesson after another. He was teaching, teaching, teaching. You read the Gospels, you see so much of it. He was equipping His disciples. He was all his 12 disciples and all that believed in Him, He was equipping them to live in this world, to be effective children of God. And as our text tells us, He was doing that teaching while He was here. And now that He's leaving, His Holy Spirit's going to take up that role. So just as Jesus taught, the Holy Spirit wants to teach. That is His job. And His primary tool, what's the primary tool of the Holy Spirit? What's the curriculum? Word of God. Amen. Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and He will teach you and I, whether it be through preaching, whether it be through Sunday school teaching or Bible studies or your simple reading of the Bible. He wants to instruct us. He wants to help us learn how to live, how to navigate this old world. He will give us insight. He will open our eyes to truths and concepts that we would not otherwise understand. The Holy Spirit of God wants to put us, to equip us, if you will, to live in this world in a godly way for the glory of God. And folks, when we realize that and we let Him teach us, it changes the course of our lives. God gets so much glory out of taking just a simple person that doesn't know anything about the things of God, and I certainly was that case when I got saved. I didn't know come here from Sikkim about anything the Bible was saying. But He wants to take and teach, you probably were much like that, and teach us and give us wisdom. And over time, it doesn't happen overnight, but instruct us and give us discernment and wisdom that will lead us into living a very victorious, a very abundant life. Just doing well in this world in the eyes of God. That's what He wants to do. And when He does that, folks, it's so glorifying to Him. He says, "Look at this kid here. You should have seen when I found him." Yeah, but look at him now. He's allowed me to save him. He's allowed me to teach him. And now look at his life now. Remember when he told Satan, he said, "You considered my servant Job?" God says, "I'm glorified. Look at what I'm doing in Job's life." God can say that about you and I if we're letting the Holy Spirit teach us. So often, God will take the most unlikely, the most uneducated, simple people, and maybe they're not I say they, I probably fall into that category. But maybe they don't have, from a worldly standard, everything on the ball that's going to make them a success in life. But God says, I will, and He does, I've seen it so many times, give that person victory, because the wisdom that I will give him and the instruction that I will give him from his life, for his life, from the Bible, will make more of a difference than any higher education could ever make. Folks, and you're, many of you are living proof of that. I feel like, or I hope certainly, that I'm telling you, folks, when God took account of my intellectual properties, He found out right quick there wasn't much of an inventory, folks. He just, and for you either, probably. But He says, hey, that doesn't matter. I'm going to teach you with the Word of God. I'm going to teach you kingdom business. I'm going to teach you kingdom truths and kingdom principles that will change your life. And it does. Let me move on. The Holy Spirit of God is a convictor of our sins. He will show us where we're out of line. He's a teacher. And then He's also a comforter. We don't have to go back over these verses and this text again, but we've seen it time and time again. He refers to the Holy Spirit as comforter. Comforter. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my grandchildren. And when they hurt, I really, if they will allow me, if they will let me, I want to pull them up close to me and try to comfort them. I want to encourage them. I want to give them words that will strengthen them. I want to embrace them. That's just what we do, right, parents? We just don't want them to hurt. We just want to help them get through that hard time. That's exactly the role of the Holy Spirit in our life. The word comfort literally means to come alongside. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I just want to take you, so to speak, in my arms and hold you. We will get through this together. I will give you the strength to move forward. I will give you the ability to hang on and get through this problem. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. He wants to remind us of God's promises. He wants to remind us of God's love. He wants to just hold us closely, so to speak. That's His role in our lives. And folks, when we recognize this, we can be without family. We can be without friends, we can be without acquaintance, and still we'll never be alone. The Holy Spirit of God will step. You think of how many people have found themselves in a prison cell, perhaps, in solitary confinement. And if they're a child of God, if they've been forgiven, they've repented and turned to Jesus, they're never alone, and they'll be comforted day and night in that prison cell. Folks, that's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to comfort us. Now, fourthly, and this is one they're all great, but this is one I get very excited about. The Holy Spirit of God leads us, folks. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit of God leads you and I. In other words, He will guide our steps. He will give us discernment to make certain choices, to make certain decisions, to take us down the right path. We'll yield to Him. We just got through studying several months ago. We got through studying the book of Acts. We've been studying it on Wednesday night. It took us nearly 4 years to get through the whole book. But something about the book of Acts is so exciting. It's just the study of the early church, the Acts of the Apostles. This when Jesus had left the earth and ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God was residing in every believer, just so many exciting things began to happen in this world as the gospel began to spread. And the early church was very powerful and so many great things. But one of the key characters, as you know, in the book of Acts and in that early church was the Apostle Paul. We know the profound role that he played in spreading the Word of God throughout the world and planting churches and helping nurture churches and helping them grow and all of this. I say that to say this. Something that in that study of the book of Acts that jumped out at me and I passed on to those that were here studying with me was the fact that multiple times the Bible calls attention to the fact that the Spirit led Paul to make certain decisions. Now, the Spirit told him And it wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't. Now, there were times that the angel of the Lord appeared, and or not appeared, but spoke to Paul a couple of different times. But beyond that, it's speaking of the Spirit just directing him. The Spirit just, impressing upon him to make certain choices. Let me give you a case in point. Acts chapter 16, Paul had one plan, and he was intended to go to Mysia with the gospel, but it says the Spirit suffered him not. In other words, he got checked in his spirit. Well, I don't need to be doing this. That's what he wants to do in our life. In Acts chapter 18, the Spirit pressed upon him, it said, to go and testify to the Jews at Corinth. Again, God's Spirit that lived within Paul just saying, hey, here's what I want you to do. He didn't hear any words. He probably wasn't reading his Bible when it happened. It's just the Spirit nudged him and said, hey, this is direction. Acts chapter 19 and verse, two different spots, chapter 19 and in chapter 20, two different times it says the Spirit was telling Paul to go to Jerusalem. Telling him audibly? No. Impressing upon him that you need to continue your course going to Jerusalem. Elsewhere in the book of Acts, you find other believers like Philip and Cornelius and Peter and Stephen that were led by the Holy Spirit to do certain things. The Bible is replete with examples of the Holy Spirit giving direction, helping someone make a choice, helping someone to discern what to do next, helping someone to go in the right direction, to take certain actions. The Holy Spirit of God wants to do that for you and I. He wants to, folks. Sometimes we wander around this world so stinking aimlessly as Christians because we don't even look to the Holy Spirit. We don't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence, let alone ask Him what to do next. And He wants to, folks. It may come in the form of circumstances where He closes a door or opens a door. It may come in the form of a godly friend or a family member that just comes and just gives you some advice. He works in that way. But the most exciting and the most encouraging way that the Holy Spirit gives us direction and leadership is just simply when He impresses upon our heart. It just makes us know inside what to do next. And folks, this is so evident. Just urging us. Maybe it's impressing us to do something particular. Or maybe it's a caution to not do something. Don't go that direction. Don't make that choice. In the last few weeks, I've experienced this in the most vivid way. In fact, it's what's prompted me to study this and prepare this lesson in a great way. A situation presented itself that wasn't of my doing. I had no say in it or anything. But it caused me to have to really consider making some changes in a particular area, to alter my course in that particular part of my life. And so that being a case, it's just circumstances changed. I got in my mind what I thought I needed to do. I thought about a direction I needed to go. And the Spirit of God just kept checking me and keeping me from doing that. And I stayed with it. That's what I wanted to do. But as I went, one thing He did was slow me down. So I didn't do anything rash. And as I went, I kept thinking, well, I need to go do this. And He kept checking me in my spirit. No, you don't need to do that. And so I struggled with this for a few weeks, wanting to go one way, but the Holy Spirit slowing me down and leading me to do otherwise. And then, after a couple of weeks, in the most clear way, just this last week, He revealed to me exactly why I shouldn't have gone the direction I wanted to go. He revealed so clearly. I've shared it with a couple of people who are close enough to me that it would be helpful to them. But He showed me exactly why, if I would have gone my way, it wouldn't have been a disaster, but it wouldn't have accomplished certain things that were going to be accomplished, that have been accomplished now. Folks, I get so stinking excited about that. And here's what I did, and it's what I do often. I begin to pray immediately. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for being involved in my life. Thank you for helping me make the right choice. And I can't take any credit, folks, because I knew what I wanted to do, okay? But thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping me from doing what I wanted to do and getting me on and making me make the right choices, which really amounted to no choice at all. Just kept me from changing anything. And then it all played out. And folks, if we will understand the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, His willingness to convict us of our sins, His willingness to teach us, His willingness to comfort us, His willingness to lead us. When we begin to understand that, it should cause us, it should change the way we think. And here's the deal, it should change the way we pray. Folks, listen to the prayers, the public prayers, and I'm not critical of anybody's prayers. All prayers are good. But ask yourself about your own prayers. How often do you utter the words Holy Spirit in your prayer? We talk to the Father in the name of Jesus continually. How often do we make mention or acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit? Oftentimes, not much, folks. You got to be honest with yourself. Myself included. The Holy Spirit is just as much a presence as the other two persons of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We should have a continual dialogue with the Holy Spirit in the course of our life. Talking to Him, saying, hey, just examples. Holy Spirit, reveal to me my sin. Show me where I'm wrong in this. Give me a sense of knowing what I have done wrong so I can correct it. He'll do it, folks. He'll convict us. We can pray, Holy Spirit, oh man, this is one that's a lifeline. Holy Spirit, I need you to comfort me. I'm down, I'm low. I'm going through this. Holy Spirit, hold me close to you. Would you just encourage me? Would you remind me of God's love? Will you tell me of the promises of God? I just need to hear it from you. And He will. The Holy Spirit will do that. Praying, Holy Spirit, teach me. As I open the Word of God this morning and I do my devotions, would you just teach me and reveal to me? And as I go through life, just help me to get wisdom and help me to get understanding, Holy Spirit. And teach me to function well in your kingdom. Teach me to be a good servant. And talk to the Holy Spirit, seeking Him in this. Holy Spirit, produce in me the fruits of the Spirit. Produce in me the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Holy Spirit, instill them in me. Produce them. Make them flourish in my life. Amen. Folks, those are prayers we should be praying. Holy Spirit, lead me. Oh, I couldn't tell you how many times during a week, folks, I get out of my pickup or I'm in my pickup or something going somewhere and I say, now, Holy Spirit, go ahead of me on this deal. Go deal with her heart. Holy Spirit, I'm about to walk in the room at the hospital. Give me words. Give me the words to say to deal with this. Holy Spirit, they've lost a loved one. They need to hear from you. Would you give me direction and what I'm going to say to this family? And I'm not boasting, folks, but this is a dialogue I have with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me discernment. This is a big decision. I need your help. I need you to guide my steps. I need you to take me down the right path. Impress upon me the right choice. Folks, I could go on and on with examples of these type of prayers, but if you do not already have a dialogue in your prayer life, a dialogue with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to begin that. It'll change your life. He's there, and He wants to do these things. And He'll do these things in spite of us. But when we begin to lean on Him and acknowledge Him and address Him and appreciate Him, thanking Him, giving gratitude for what He's doing and what He's going to do, the Holy Spirit becomes so much more powerful and active in our life, it will change everything about us. Brother David, if you'll come. Let me ask you to stand. We're going to take a time this morning of invitation.